The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked on a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome, welcome once again, everybody. Have you checked your calendars and noticed how early Easter falls this year? It's a remarkably early Easter this year, which means that it's going to be the season of Lent before you know it. Yeah, and do not worry, I'm not about to make a pitch for the Bishop's Lenten Appeal. Okay? All that's coming in good time. But rather, just to draw attention to the fact, you know, we just finished Christmas. Blink your eyes and it's Lent. And we hardly get any weeks this year of good old ordinary time. So I got to make the most of them while I can. And that's what I'm going to do today with a very ordinary homily for you today. Okay, we're going to draw this homily entirely from the first reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. Because everybody knows the story of Jonah and the whale, but did you know that this is the only week that you ever hear the book of the prophet Jonah read at Sunday Mass? Got a 3-year cycle of readings here, and only one day in all that time do you ever hear the book of the prophet Jonah read. There's lots of good lessons from the book of the prophet Jonah. And so today becomes my only opportunity to try to share them with you. That's what I'm going to try to do here with you today, okay? Because in the ancient church, they were fascinated with the character of Jonah. Because they saw Jonah as being an image of Jesus Christ. Just as Jonah was swallowed up by the whale, so was Jesus swallowed up in death. And just like Jonah came back after 3 days, so too did Christ our Lord that very first Easter Sunday morning. And just like Jonah traveled a grand distance to preach repentance to the city of Nineveh, so too did Christ our Lord come down from heaven to earth to preach repentance and to bring all the world into God's grace. You know, you look at the catacombs in Rome where they used to bury the ancient Christians, and you'll find on so many occasions mosaics and murals, drawings depicting Jonah, because they were fascinated with Jonah. But you can't really get the picture of Jonah, not from our brief little first reading. So allow me to tell you the rest of the story of Jonah, okay? Because I think you'll like it. Story of Jonah is the story of the most reluctant prophet in the entire Old Testament. Nobody ever did God's will with less enthusiasm than Jonah, okay? Because Jonah was given a terrible job by God. Jonah was told to preach repentance to the city of Nineveh. And Nineveh was the largest city and the most powerful country in the world. Okay, so Jonah's job was to preach repentance to Manhattan. He had to get Broadway to bewail their sins. He had to get them wearing sackcloth and ashes on Wall Street. And so Jonah thinks this over and he says to himself, "You know, I don't think this is going to end very well for me, right? At best, they're going to laugh me out of town. At worst, they're going to maim me or hurt me or even kill me." So what does Jonah do? Jonah does what we often do when faced with a very great difficulty. Jonah turns tail and runs away. Okay? He's supposed to go 500 miles to the east to the city of Nineveh. Jonah hops a boat bound for Tarshish. Tarshish is Hebrew for Timbuktu. Okay, 2,500 miles to the west. So there's Jonah. He's snugs up in his boat, and he's got this gentle grin on his face. He's absolutely convinced that he's finally run away from God. And he settles off to a beautiful slumber. When suddenly, out of nowhere, and with no explanation, a terrible storm whips up on the seas. All the passengers of the boat say to one another, "Where did this storm come from? Nobody saw this coming. What could possibly be the cause of this terrible storm?" And they go to Jonah and they say, "Wake up, Jonah, wake up. There's a terrible storm on the sea and nobody knows what caused it." And here's where Jonah fesses up. And he says, "Well, it turns out that I'm a prophet of the God of Israel, Yahweh, and I'm running away from what he's asking me to do." And so the people on the boat throw Jonah overboard. Right? They got more trust in God than Jonah does. And here's where Jonah gets swallowed up by the whale. And after a whale of a ride, he gets spewn up on the sea in the exact same place where he ran away from God in the first place. And God turns to Jonah and he says, "Now, Jonah, like I was saying, go to the city of Nineveh and preach to them the message that I will tell you." And so Jonah drags his feet. Jonah goes up to the city of Nineveh and he says, 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed." And lo and behold, the people of Nineveh repent. Sackcloth and ashes and the works. And Jonah can't believe his eyes. And our first reading ends by saying that God repents of the chastisement that he was going to carry out against the people of Nineveh for all of their sins. And you know, there's a lot of great lessons in the book of the prophet Jonah. Let me just share three of them with you here today. Okay, three little lessons from the book of the prophet Jonah. First of all, you can't run from God. Secondly, the greatest hardships in life bring you to exactly where you're supposed to be. And thirdly, even the slightest cooperation with God's good grace does more good than you can hope for or imagine. Okay? Quick little look at each one of those three. First of all, you can't run from God. Jonah tries his darndest. Hops in a boat, thinks he's going to run from God. And what happens to Jonah? He runs smack into a storm. Which is exactly what happens to us when we try to run away from God's will. We run into so many storms of our own making. Now, here's something I've learned in my little life. I'm sure you've observed this same thing. Most of the hardships in life are caused by our own misdeeds. We are the architects, for the most part, of our own misery. Now you take things like illness and death and catastrophes and accidents, and you take those things, set them aside, all right? And look at the rest of life and ask yourself, how many of the hardships in life come from the fact that we just won't follow the good commandments that our Heavenly Father has given us? I'm inclined to say that all of them are. I mean, how many homes, dare we estimate, are torn apart by lust? How many people sacrifice their health at the altar of gluttony? Or how much peace of mind and charity and homes and happiness is sacrificed at the altar of greed? Here's a thought experiment that I like to carry out sometimes in my mind. You know, take the Ten Commandments and imagine what this world would be like if people would keep just one of them. Just imagine that. You take just, "Thou shalt not steal." You just try, if you dare, to imagine how different the world would be if people would only obey just that one commandment. You can't imagine it because it's just that different. Listen, hard as it is to do the will of your Heavenly Father, it is a lot harder if you want to do your own will and to defy Him. Because every single time we try to march our own path and run away from God, you know what? There's hell to pay. Often, always figuratively, and I'm sorry to say, sometimes literally. What we want to do is want to take a look at the storms of our lives and, like Jonah, begin to ask this question: is there anything I'm doing that's causing this? A lot of times the answer to that question is yes. You can't run from God. All right, second. The hardest sufferings in life bring you to exactly where you are supposed to be. Right now, do not misunderstand. It's no part of your Heavenly Father's will that a single one of His little ones should ever come to grief. God directly wills nobody's suffering. However, He sure does use it. He sure does use it to bring about His good purposes. Hardship is nature's way of making you stronger. And suffering is God's way of making you who you were created to be. Just like silver or gold is refined in the furnace or refined in the fire, so too in the crucible of suffering does our Lord bring us to exactly where He intends us to be. And have you noticed this sometimes? You try to get away from the sufferings in your life by changing your circumstances, only to discover that you have the exact same problems, right? You change your circumstances. Maybe it's your job, maybe it's your commute, maybe it's a relationship that you're in, you know, and you brush your hands off and you say, no, that's the end of that problem, only to discover that your problems follow you. Your circumstances are entirely different, but your problems are entirely the same. Why? Because the problem was never in your circumstances. The problem was in the person staring you back in the mirror. Listen, there are lots of storms in life. Stand fast through all of them. They are not without their purpose. And lastly, even the slightest cooperation with God's good grace does more good than you ever thought possible. So Jonah drags his feet and reluctantly goes off to the city of Nineveh, and he can't believe that they all repented. But this isn't the exception to the rule in the God of the Bible. This is the rule. God does great things with almost nothing. Like, you know, you think about Gideon, who took 300 soldiers and defeated an army of 30,000. Or the story that you all know of a little boy named David who took on a heavy favorite named Goliath and won. Armed with just one stone and a very good slingshot, but you know, he won. Or the story that you heard in your gospel here this morning. Here's our Lord picking nobodies and average Joes off the Sea of Galilee. Unlettered fishermen together with a few ragtag political misfits and a spare tax collector. And raises them up to be no less than the foundations of His church. Raises them up to a place that in history would be greater than the greatest kings that have ever lived. Well, He takes 5 loaves and a pair of dried fish and uses them to feed 5,000 people. Here's what our Lord always does. Heck, look at you, for example. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that your whole life began as one single cell. That's all you were. Look at you now, right? Look at you now. And here's where I always say, God doesn't need much, but He does need your cooperation. That's all He needs. So don't focus so much on like the grand task of living a great big holy life. Think rather, you know, don't even think about living a holy year or even living a holy hour. Focus on living a holy moment. What I like to call just doing the next right step and God will do the rest. Every time. It's like, you know, reminds me of one of my favorite quotations. Here's from John Henry Cardinal Newman, where he says, God has created me to do Him some definite service. Committed to me a work which He has committed to no other. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I am a link in a chain. I shall do good. I shall do His work. I shall be an angel of peace, even while not intending it, if I but keep His commandments. Therefore, if I am in sickness, may my sickness serve Him. In perplexity, may my perplexity serve Him. If I am in sorrow, may my sorrow serve Him. He may take away my friends. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, make my spirit sink, hide my future from me. Still, He does nothing in vain. He knows what He is about. Therefore, I will trust Him. And you too, every last one of you, have been created for some definite purpose. Have you fulfilled your purpose yet on this earth? The answer to that question is no. As long as you're alive, you're still on the job. Okay? So what we want to do is we want to take a lesson this morning, or a few lessons, from the book of the prophet Jonah. Do not be reluctant to carry out our Lord's good will. Don't kick against the goat or drag your feet, but offer him rather even what little you have. And if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.